From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. You're listening to Idaho Matters. Just a year ago, Ryan Lee was the chief of the Boise Police Department, and not many people knew of then-Captain Matt Bringelson. Fast forward to 2023. Lee has since resigned in the shadow of one controversy, and 2 months later, racist remarks linked to Bringelson further rocked the department. Boise City Council President Holly Woodings calls the controversy shocking. Our Morning Edition host, George Prentice, talked to several people, including Woodings, about the long and wide shadow over the police department. Let's take a listen.
My question to you is a question, my first question, that I heard time and again in different circles, and I'm guessing you've heard this too, and that is, how is it possible that a high-profile officer and ultimately a captain in the police department buttress and give voice to the definition of racist propaganda, and yet somehow this was completely under the radar?
Yeah, I mean, I think I was as shocked as everyone else when the citizen researcher on Twitter brought this whole thing to light. It was shocking, abhorrent. You know, it's exactly as you said, we need to get to the bottom of it and see if these thoughts and beliefs that this former police captain harbor had any lasting impact on our citizens and on his service to the city.
Are you confident that we will get to the bottom of this?
I sure hope so. That's our goal. And that's why the mayor was so careful in her selection of our investigative firm. You know, she wanted somebody who had a lot of experience, who really could be trusted to get to the bottom of this and provide any follow-up actions that the city will need to take, if any are necessary.
And Michael Bromwich, I don't think anyone can dispute his credentials and Steptoe and Johnson. That said, $500,000 for that investigation is indeed real money. I know that the mayor wanted to get the investigation going as soon as possible, but was there not a plan B, no other option to possibly put this project out to bid?
I mean, there are avenues by which we can do that, but really this contract in the scope of the contracts that the city has is not a large contract. We have contracts that are, you know, multi-millions of dollars that we execute on all the time. And so with the specialization of what we were needing from this investigation and the qualifications that this investigator and his firm bring to the project, the city council did not require a competitive bid process in this situation.
Let's talk about the bigger picture on this, and that is trust. The trust that may have been damaged, our trust in those that we need to trust the most, the people who protect us. And then for the men and women, the rank and file, their trust that the investigation will be conducted fairly. And all of a sudden, our default position is not trust, but skepticism. And that can be, quite frankly, cancerous.
Yeah, you're right. It can be. And so that's why we wanted to keep the scope of this investigation incredibly narrow. This is not a witch hunt into Boise Police Department. This is really ensuring that any actions that were taken by this captain were fair to our residents, and if not, that we're able to deal with that. And then, you know, if anything else is discovered over the course of this that requires follow-up, we'll be made aware of that. But, you know, George, I think the important thing to remember is that the rank and file officers who are out there every day really care about our residents, and they really take their role as public servants seriously. And we can't lose trust in that. I mean, they really are incredible people. You know, I think that the words of this one officer, while they're terrible, are not representative of a systemic issue within the Boise Police Department.
So to that end, do you see daylight at the end of this as far as greater confidence and an ability to to attract and hire and keep good police officers in the future?
Yeah, I really do. And police departments all over the country are really grappling with a lot of these same issues. Boise Police Department is unique in that our officers, I think, just have a different approach to policing overall. What we're really looking forward to is having this investigation complete, understanding how we go forward with accountability of our police officers, and then looking forward to hiring a permanent police chief to replace our wonderful public servant, interim police chief, Chief Weiniger, and just really getting to the root of this so that we can have a solid plan going forward that creates a police department that really responds to our community needs and that reflects the values of Boiseans.
I'm not sure if you can answer this, but I have to ask, will this investigation include an interview with former police chief Ryan Lee?
I'm not sure. I think that's a really great question. We're not part of the investigation process, with the exception of being interviewed by the investigators. And so that would definitely be a question for the investigators themselves.
Does Michael Bromwich and his team at Steptoe and Johnson touch base with you and counsel, or do you only expect to hear from them if something extraordinary crops up that requires immediate attention?
I think that we will have some touch base moments throughout the investigation, but if there is anything that really requires immediate attention, of course, that'll be brought up right away.
That was new Boise City Council President Holly Woodings speaking with our Morning Edition host George Prentice about recent events impacting the Boise Police Department. After nearly three decades on the Boise Police Force, Ron Weiniger was settling into retirement. Well, then things fell apart. In the wake of former Chief Ryan Lee resigning at the request of the mayor, Weingar agreed to serve as interim chief until the mayor could find a replacement. But then, less than 2 months later, it was discovered that a former police captain had been promoting racist ideologies. The tailspin at the department intensified, and an independent probe has since been launched. Our Morning Edition host, George Prentice, continues his look at the Boise Police Department controversy with a conversation with Chief Weiniger. Let's take a listen.
27 years on the force, retired, but then you get a call from the mayor to come back because, we needed a chief. You said yes. My first question is, considering all that needs to be done, it may be quite some time before we get a new permanent chief. Are you committed to staying on the job until, whatever it takes?
I would say absolutely yes, I am. And for background on that subject just a little bit, when the mayor called, it was completely out of the blue. And when she called, she asked if I would be willing to come back and serve for a time. And I did ask what for a time meant, and she said, I don't know. And we're probably still in that realm. We don't know for sure how long that time will be, but I am absolutely here for as long as I'm helpful and as long as I'm needed.
And indeed, we've had a couple of wrinkles since then. So, Chief, I'd like to talk about trust this morning. We as citizens, and you know this community as well as anyone, we need to trust those men and women sworn to protect us. That trust, unfortunately, was compromised a bit by the mess that was left behind by a former Boise police captain. Chief, can you talk to the community about trust?
Absolutely. You know, trust is integral to success in law enforcement or in policing, because to really do the job that the folks in our community expect us to do, we have to have relationships of trust. And those are only built with time and with interaction and with shared experiences. So we recognize that there are some folks in our community who certainly come into that relationship from a perspective of distrust. And we also recognize that the experiences that we've had recently have damaged that trust, not only with those who may tend to distrust anyway, but even with the folks that we've had good relationships with in the past and who have who've had good experiences with us. This causes everyone to take a moment and think about whether they do have trust in us. And we recognize that and understand it. And it is sad and unfortunate and very disappointing, the circumstances that have most recently caused us to maybe lose some of that trust with our community. But we are 100% committed to rebuilding trust where needed and building trust if we don't have a relationship with some folks in our community. So we certainly are open, and we want to have all kinds of conversations, as well as we just want to show that we are trustworthy day in and day out. The officers that go out there, they patrol, they respond to calls for service. Our detectives work cases. Our community outreach folks are participating in events, and we recognize we have some trust to rebuild and to gain, but they are working hard day in and day out. And I think they are just as disappointed as I am that we're in the position we are in. We are committed to making it better for sure.
Indeed, we have an independent investigation already underway. So to that issue of trust, I have to assume that the women and men of the rank and file, they also need to trust that the investigation will be conducted with integrity and it's not a witch hunt.
Absolutely. And I think they are waiting, and they are watching, and they are hoping to see that is the case. And in my interactions with the members of the Step Toe organization, certainly I've had some conversations with their representatives, and I've been interviewed, and I know that several members of our command staff are slated to be interviewed in this next week. And I think everyone's waiting to see that the scope of that investigation and the intent of it. Is it as promised? Is it what is it going to be like? And so I think folks have a curious nature, and they want to know, but they're a little hesitant for sure. And we'll just have to see in time. But my experience so far is they've been very, very reasonable, very cordial, and very professional in their approach. So I'm cautiously optimistic, and I'm hopeful that things will go well. And I certainly know that they have a reputation for being thorough and fair and professional. So that is good on that end. But I know folks are just a little uneasy, and they're waiting to see.
I know you've had a little bit of time to think about this. Are you confident that a former Captain Bringelson did not infect the department?
You know, that's an interesting question, and probably a loaded question when you use the term, has it infected the department?
Well, I use that word only because, quite frankly, the team that is leading the investigation used that word.
Yep.
Made the presentation to council. And so that's why, and I understand it's words are important, but it was their word.
Yes. And I think it's important for sure as well. I guess I would answer by saying the department that I know, the people that I know and have worked with for over a quarter of a century, I have never seen or heard or experienced racist behavior. I have never seen that enter into any conversations. And so I'm confident that we're in a good place, but I am also disappointed that we are where we are. So I guess the question of Captain Bringelson, mm-hmm. Having those ideologies, former Captain Bringelson, having those ideologies and those thoughts and those ideas, that was a surprise to me as well. So I look forward to the results of the investigation. I think I know what they will be, but nobody knows for sure until it's concluded. And so my encouragement to all of our members participating in that investigation is simply to be helpful and be willing to engage and to discuss. and to answer questions. And I think we will get where we need to be. My hope, and more than just my blind hope, I truly believe that it will show that our organization has the vast majority of members being fair and impartial and dedicated and dutiful in their efforts to enforce the law and to be impartial in the work that they do.
Chief, this must be an interesting time to recruit potentially really good cops and keep good cops. Talk to me a bit about this environment that we're in and attracting, you know, the best of the best to serve and protect.
You bet. It is an interesting time. And if anybody's paying attention across the country, This is not a unique problem. It is an issue. And frankly, we have it probably a lot better here than many places in the country. We are still seeing people who have good hearts and good intentions and want to be part of a noble profession and make a difference in their community, both coming in as a new officer, as well as we have a number of folks from other areas of the country who are interested in Boise as a way of life, and the Boise Police Department in particular as a professional, well-run organization. And we certainly have issues and problems to work through, but we are finding that there still are people out there that want to do this job. It is tough in that the profession has taken a hit for sure over the past, pick the timeline, two or three years. There has been a lot of scrutiny placed on policing and law enforcement in general. And that is heavy, and it's not just in Minneapolis or just in Chicago or New York or Portland or Seattle. It's everywhere. That heaviness certainly weighs on even our officers here in Boise. But we also have the tremendous support of our community. And I think it's worth mentioning that we do have, even now and even today, a tremendous amount of support and good feeling and good interactions with members of our community. So we are fortunate. It is a challenge, no doubt. And everybody is looking for good qualified candidates. And so we are competing in a pretty tough market. But we do have some advantages, especially living in this part of the Pacific Northwest, where we just have a great community.
That was Boise's Interim Police Chief Ron Weinegar speaking with our Morning Edition host, George Prentice. We have seen scandal in the past year with a relatively new Boise Police Chief being asked to resign, and then a former captain on the force revealed to give voice to racism. All of that triggered an independent investigation into the department. And then there is the tragedy that has rocked Moscow and the campus of the University of Idaho. And all of this leads to more day-to-day conversations of how best to serve and protect. We want to continue our conversation about the Boise Police Department, as well as about Idahoans' expectations of law enforcement. We're doing that with Dr. Cody Jorgensen. He's an associate professor of criminal justice at Boise State University. And he sat down with our Morning Edition host, George Prentice.
We are particularly interested in your most recent research on Idahoans' expectations of police performance when it comes to solving crime. Can you break that down for us as a layperson? How do you begin that? Do you begin that with a thesis or a series of questions?
So this idea actually comes from teaching classes. When I'm teaching classes, oftentimes I bring up the topic of clearance rates. And clearance rates is basically, in lay terms, when police solve a crime. Mm-hmm. I pose questions to my students like, well, what percentage of crimes do you think that the police solve? And like, what percentage of crimes do you think police have to solve in order for you to say that they're doing a good job at solving crime? And the answers I get from students are very consistent, that they expect the police to solve almost all crimes.
Wow.
And then they tell them that it's like, that's not even remotely close, because, you know, like on average across the nation, police solve about 45% of violent crimes and less than 20% of property crimes. Students' mouths just drop open. They're very surprised by that. And so I've been, you know, posing this question to all my students in my classes for years now when I talk about clearance rates. So then the opportunity came up to pose this question to a representative sample of Idahoans with the Idaho Police Institute statewide survey. So I got my questions in that survey, and that's how I got the data to understand Idahoans' expectations of police performance when it comes to solve crimes.
So could you give us those questions? What questions did you ask?
They're just that. What percentage of violent crime do you think police have to solve in order for you to say that they're doing a good job at solving violent crime? And then the same question is posed, but for property crime.
So what did you find?
That the expectations of the Idaho public are unrealistic. They're very high. So 46% or more, or right around 46%, expect the police to solve more than 75% of violent crimes. And that's just not realistic. It's even lower for property crimes. And Idaho police do much better job than police nationally at solving crime, but still they're, not near the meeting the expectations of the, or I should say, they're nowhere near meeting the unrealistic expectations of Idahoans.
And when we talk about police, do you use that term generically as far as whether it's municipal or county or state?
Yeah, it's just all, law enforcement.
So what do you do with that data then? Do you line that up with the facts, or does it point you to conclusions and recommendations?
Well, in my paper, I do contextualize, the Idahoans' expectations to reality.
Yeah.
And show where they really don't line up. Then I talk about some possible ways to move forward with this. And one of the things that I say is it may not be in stakeholders' best interest to placate unrealistic expectations. Mm-hmm. What I would argue, though, is that, there could be some better, communication on part of law enforcement to be more kind of open and transparent with the limitations of investigations. And that way that, that can help the public align their expectations with something that's realistic.
But indeed, there's a disconnect here, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Where can we lay this? On whose feet can we lay this as far as better communication and transparency?
Well, I do think it is incumbent on any government agency to be very transparent, very forthright with how they communicate with the public, police included. That way they can better manage expectations of the public. However, the unrealistic expectations from the public are the fault of the public. People get their information about law enforcement from Hollywood, TV shows, movies, even the so-called reality TV shows like Cops or True Crime. Yeah. They distort reality. Very rarely do you ever watch a program or a movie on TV where the cops don't get the bad guy.
True. Law and Order rarely screws up.
We call those kind of shows copaganda.
Wow. I've never heard that before, but I think that's appropriate.
Yeah. Like Law and Order, those kind of shows, it is a very pro-police bias programming. So we call it, copaganda. It's kind of a play on words, but mm-hmm. You get the idea.
I guess we should say that when we have a tragedy such as we have had in the city of Moscow, our hypersensitivity dials up even higher.
I would say that's a fair assessment, especially when it's something that's as rare, but also as kind of serious as what happened up there.
And has gotten as much attention and as much scrutiny.
Yeah. And this is one, and just a kind of a side comment on that investigation. It's like, because a lot of people were really haranguing Moscow PD and, ISP about not being able to solve that crime like instantly.
Right.
But these whodunits are hard for police to solve, and they are a slow burn. Those investigations do take much longer than your run of the mill homicide.
That was Dr. Cody Jorgensen, who teaches criminal justice at Boise State University. He was speaking with our Morning Edition host, George Prentice, who happens to join us now to talk more about this series. George, as always, so good to have you here.
Thanks, Gemma.
Okay, so George, I want to start with some developments that have happened actually since you produced this series in just the last couple of days, because there was an officer-involved shooting that happened just earlier this week.
Indeed, it was Monday. And the following day, the police department identified the officer involved, a 23-year veteran of the force, Kip Paparello. And it turns out that it was Paparello's second officer-involved shooting in less than 3 months. So just to bring our listeners up to speed, what happened was Boise police and Department of Correction officers were responding to a suspect who had been identified, and he had violated parole, and they found him in a parking lot off of Fairview Avenue near a Meridian restaurant. They were trying to get him out of his car. The officer said the suspect pulled a gun, and that's when Officer Paparello fired his weapon, and the suspect died at the scene. So we have a critical incident task force that has taken over. Garden City Police are going to be the lead agency. It's important to note that this is the second shooting involving police this year. There were seven police shootings in all of last year.
And George, go back again to what you had said about this particular officer who shot this this individual. Did you say this is his second
shooting? It was his second shooting in less than 3 months. Last November, he was involved in an officer-involved shooting of a registered sex offender. At the Department of Correction had Eli Nash as the suspect there.
All right. And as you said, investigating this shooting is Garden City. And this is, we should let people know, I mean, this is protocol in the sense that your own department never ends up investigating an officer-involved shooting.
Indeed. But we are also at a time of some vulnerability, because we can connect the dots here, I think. I think most of our listeners know that the former head of internal affairs at the department, he left the department and is currently suing the city. And a man who ran the Office of Police Accountability, the director there, he was dismissed from his position. He is suing the city. So, you know, when we're talking about internal investigations, the web gets very tangled very quickly here.
So, George, I want to go back to your conversation with City Council President, Boise City Council President Hollywood Woodings. How concerned was she about all of the events that unfolded last year at the Boise Police Department? Because you only just mentioned right now two of the incidents.
Indeed. And we have an internal investigation, but it's a very specific, a third party investigation. I should be very clear. This is not an internal investigation. This is an independent investigation, a third party investigation into the findings of a former Boise police captain, Matt Bringelson. And we learned after he retired that he had been promoting racist ideologies. And the city decided to reach out to a third party to come in and investigate. So my conversation with Council President Woodings had to do with how is it possible that a former police captain who had been in the department for decades, as a matter of fact, he was a high-profile officer too, that no one knew about this or even had a hint about this. And her words was that she was shocked and found it abhorrent. And I want to make sure I get this right. She says that while the words of this one officer, while they're terrible, they are not representative of a systemic issue within the Boise Police Department.
With that said, though, George, not surprising that those are what a city official would say about something like this.
That's right. Any conversation that we've had with people in any official capacity, they've expressed surprise, disgust, hey, absolutely, we support this investigation, but I, quote unquote, I knew nothing about this.
Well, and also that there's just one bad apple, right? There's just one bad actor. I think that they're right. And I think that there are probably skeptics out there who would question that because of how long this individual served in that capacity on the force.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and in regards to the public's perception, and Gemma, I think you can appreciate this, in the wake of these conversations airing in the morning, I've received a fair amount of comments and emails and communications from listeners, just like you and I do all the time. But in this particular interest, it was much higher volume of feedback. But they were on the polar ends. The comments were, I can't believe that you gave these people airtime. They're lying through their teeth. Or, I can't believe that you're questioning the good nature of law enforcement, when in fact, we were basically just asking questions of, hey, what did you know? Can we talk about trust? And that was really at the heart of these conversations. The reason I reached out to Council President Woodings and Interim Chief Weiniger, I wanted to talk about trust and building trust.
Right.
And under, you know, where are we at a time when we need to trust those men and women who are sworn to serve and protect? What is it like trying to recruit really good men and women, let alone keep good men and women on the force, and give up, you know, give that conversation a little bit more space? At the heart of these conversations, we're talking about trust. Now, everything is in the ear of the beholder, if you will, right? Well, you can hear people say whatever they're going to say. Well, that's not a commentary. It's what they believe. And so we're going to ask the question. Now, that said, a couple times the interviewees bristled at a couple of the questions.
Mm-hmm. But George, I think getting back to your point of listeners reaching out and you know, there is no middle ground, I think, when it comes to law enforcement and people's views on it. So I'm not surprised you got very, you know, differing ends of the spectrum. But going back to people, you know, listeners questioning why, you know, that you would or that anyone on our staff would dare question the police department, I would also counter that, George, you and I also remember 20 years ago, right? When there were so many officer-involved shootings, there was a brokenness within that department to the point that a police ombudsman was brought in as a full-time person. And we're all, you know, trying to look up what's an ombudsman, what do they do, right? It was something that that you didn't really hear much about. And Pierce Murphy was put in that position, and there was a lot of pushback on him and in that department. But George, I think it's fair to say that that department became better because of putting a position like that in place. And so I think, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I mean, George, do you reflect back when you were doing these interviews to what our city went through two decades ago?
Absolutely. It's all context, right? So I covered those same stories that you did in regards to those times and the different men and women who came and went through the department. Those were challenging times, and that's about as simple a term as I can use. Those were really, really difficult times. And an ombudsman, well, that was a thankless task. And rank and file traditionally doesn't want someone to come in and question everything you do or anything you say. But in fact, things were changed because new rules were codified. And we went through a time in the Boise Police Department where things just got better. And we started with an ombudsman. And he was in that position for quite some time. He was hired away to the city of Seattle. And when he did, then Mayor Dave Beter said, well, maybe we don't need a full-time ombudsman because we're not getting too many complaints lately. Well, I don't know if that's a good reason to go to part-time, but there was a fair amount of debate over that. But indeed, we did go to part-time. And so whether it's an Office of Police Oversight or an ombudsman, et cetera, well, here we are again. And the city is looking at what do we need to do? What should we do as far as an independent Office of Police Oversight that does not report through the police department? And indeed, there's internal investigation inside the department, but a true third-party independent ombudsman, if you will, or police oversight. Well, here we are again. And is this an opportunity to review that? Yes, everyone agrees to that from the mayor on down. But what will that look like?
Right. And I also think, George, asking what will that look like? Holly Woodings just became the council president of the city of Boise when Elaine Clegg stepped down because she took another job. And now we have a former council member, Lisa Sanchez. She is no longer in office. She was forced to move out of her district, so she had to give up her seat. So that means that the city council will soon have two new members. I am curious how that will impact, if at all, what might happen after the investigation into the Boise Police Department is finished.
Well, I'm always of the belief that just about everything connects. It's just a matter of degrees. But let's begin with the fact that Lisa Sanchez had some very specific remarks and comments and hopes for this current investigation into Boise Police. She was hoping that it would be expanded beyond the police department and through the city based on what she said, what she experienced in racism. So that voice is gone right now. And that's not to say that Lisa Sanchez cannot put her name in the hat to represent a district wherever she may live again. And indeed, she may return to the council, whether she's appointed again or runs for office again. But yes, you've got two new people, but everyone is waiting. Everyone is waiting. I think it's fair to say, and Interim Chief Weiniger, he voiced that. He said, absolutely, I think the people who are doing the investigation are good people, et cetera. They're cordial. But he was also cautious with his words as far as, well, we'll see. And I think that that's not unusual to hear from someone in law enforcement, because most of these investigations end up with some amount of criticism. And that's tough to take when you are putting literally your life on the line every day.
So, George, any word on how long Chief Weingar will be on the job? And are the mayor and council waiting until all of these investigations are over before they tackle the job of finding a new police chief?
It's going to be a while. Now, keep in mind that when Mayor Lauren McClain called Ron Weiniger, who had retired from the department, and said, can you fill in? He was filling in a situation where Ryan Lee had just been asked to resign. So, folks, this is before the Matt Bringelson controversy, right? So in his mind, and probably in the mayor's mind, they thought that they would begin the process of trying to find a new chief. Well, they can't begin that process. How can they begin that process? Because they want to wait till this investigation is over. They want to look at a revision of a Office of Police Oversight. This could take some time. So, yeah, my first question out of the gate was, how long are you in for the job? And he said, I'm here for as long as it takes.
And I think that's good. It could be a while, but that also, I think, says something about, you know, the chief wanting to right the ship. Right, George?
Stability, and absolutely.
Exactly. Yeah. And that does go far. As always, George, I appreciate you coming in and talking with us about this and also the reporting on this. Definitely, you know, worth delving into. And as you said, It is about trust. It is about transparency. And hopefully this helps.
Indeed. And it's about building or creating trust where there was none before and rebuilding mm-hmm. trust where there was some before. This is a Herculean task.
To say the least. Again, our thanks to our Morning Edition host, George Prentice, about coming in and talking with us about this. And of course, doing all of the reporting with the controversy going on in the Boise Police Department right now. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
This new year, LifeKit wants to help you succeed because everyone needs a little help being human.
It can seem so overwhelming. You're not alone.
Who can I commit to being?
If you want to do something, then just do it. Just take that first step.
Great advice every week. Listen to LifeKit from NPR.